welcome to the Intentional Living Center again, talking parenting, picking up from where we left off yesterday. Boy, we had some great calls and people struggling with what does it mean to be an intentional parent. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're talking to you from our center in Tucson, Arizona, part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. And I made a statement yesterday that if you're struggling in your family, your marriage, your finances, your work, your parenting, it's really because of one of four things. And if you missed yesterday's show, go back and listen to it, because I gave a pretty detailed teaching on these four things. But let me briefly rehearse these again and then get back to our calls. If you're struggling in your parenting or in life in general, it usually comes down to either I have a commitment for something, but we don't have agreement on how to get it done. Committed to parenting, I'm committed to my marriage, I'm committed to my work, the team I'm working with, the relationships I'm a part of, are not on the same page. Like being committed as a coach to your team, and then the team wants to play its own game, and there's not agreement on how to get it done. Number two is love and respect. I find a lot of people say, I love my spouse, or I love my kids, but there's a lack of respect going on in the relationship. And those two things have to go hand in hand, and it creates a lot of tension if it's not there. Three was shared goals and then daily action. We can have goals. We want to get out of debt, want to raise a responsible adult. But then if we don't take daily action, we procrastinate. That's what we call a good intention here. And a good intention is another way of saying, I'm going to have a lot of regrets and a mediocre life. And then number four is your identity really tying to your personal integrity. And if your identity today is to be a follower of Christ, and you are a follower of Christ, then, you know, your personal integrity has to fit in. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. That's part of intentional living. So we're camping on the topic of parenting today, and love to have you join in and be a part of the show. So let me get to Priscilla in Texas. Hi, Priscilla. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
So my question or story is, my daughter, she's been taking money from my family, and they're like mad. They want to press charges, or they did, and my mom doesn't want her there, and I don't know what to do. Like,
how old is she?
Let her go to jail, you know? 15. She'll be 16 in a couple weeks. I don't know what to do, because here they'll put her in jail at 17. Like, big jail.
So she's 15, and 16, and stealing. Has this been a pattern in her life? Has she been rebellious and kind of doing her own thing?
Yeah.
Or is this out of character? This is part of a pattern with her?
It's a pattern to take money and take other things, but...
What is she doing with it?
I don't know what to do.
What is she doing with the money and other things?
She buys food with it.
What do you mean she buys food?
She'll buy like snacks and things like that. And I don't know what to do. You know, she has food, we have food, but she'll buy food that is unnecessary, you know?
How much did she steal?
Well, I don't know. They said that she took like at least $200 from my mom, and then she takes my dad's debit card, and she'll take mine, and she's done it in the past, you know?
Like, that's a lot of snacks.
She was little, and I kind of punished her. Yeah. So I punished her when she was little because she did it with a card that I had, and I was like, she's not going to use it, and she used it. So she just now continues and continues.
Mm-hmm. Is dad involved in her life, or is dad around?
No, he's homeless and...
Okay.
Another town.
All right. So,
he's homeless, and
she's in the system now. What you're saying is she's in the system. She's been arrested, and the charges are being filed by family members, is what I heard you say. Is that correct?
This one is new, but she's in the system, yes, for something else.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. So this, like you said, this is a pattern. What do you do? God love you. I mean, this is difficult. You got a 15-year-old, and boy, we get calls like this where there's this pattern of behavior without recognizing the consequences. And kids need to experience the consequences. They need to experience the consequences and see that there's a consequence for this kind of thing. And the reason I asked the question, is this out of character? Because if you said, no, she's never done this, and I don't know why she did it, and then I would have a little different answer than, hey, this has been a pattern. She's been in the system. She's had other problems. I think what you need to do is get with some people in your area, the law enforcement and the legal systems, and talk about, hey, what are some options? What are things that I can do? What are resources that are available to help this young 15-year-old? What's available to me in this community? Because you're trying to do this alone. And we're talking about these things about goals and daily action. What I hear you saying is, my goal is to help my daughter. I want her to do a good job. I don't want her doing this kind of stuff. And then the follow through to say, okay, what one thing can I do? What do I need to do? What's possible for me to do to help her? And that's hard for me to answer from miles away, but I'll tell you what, there are people in your community. I would be connecting with all the resources in your community, the juvenile resources, to find out what are some things available to me, to my daughter, that maybe can help her deal with whatever's going on in her head. Is she angry? Is she fearful? Is this sort of a revengeful action? Is she trying to pay back the family for something that she feels she's justified to do? A lot of times we know that's a purpose of behavior, is to pay back. I have a right to take your credit card. I have a right to take your money after how I feel about my life. And in the process of doing that, at 15, your brain isn't fully formed yet, and you don't realize there's can be serious consequences for it. So that's what I would do, Priscilla. I would get with some of the authorities and say, hey, tell me what I need to do and what I can do. People who are facing this every day. There are resources available, I'm sure, for you right there in Texas. All right? That's what I would do. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Think about in your own life some of the questions that you've asked. Who should I marry? What school should I go to? Where should I work? These are questions you ask. Questions are powerful. Statements don't add a lot of value. We all have statements. Statements are cheap. Questions are powerful because questions cause us, or should cause us, to really think. And that's true. That's the lesson, the featured lesson this month is on the topic of asking the right questions. And it's up online for you and made available because of the generous support of our Intentional Living members around the country who support us on a regular basis. Come and be a part of this as we go through this journey of life, trying to encourage people to follow Christ, to be plugged into church, as Christians to understand that our identity is in Him, and then we can live our lives with that kind of personal integrity, following Him. So you can give us a call to join us today at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, my name is Shannon. My question is regarding parenting one of our children. My husband and I are pretty much on the same page for two of our three children, but our oldest child, who's actually now an adult, is our challenge, and it just seems to be a battle between us, between my husband and I. And our oldest son has recently come back to the house to live with us, and it's become more apparent once again now that he's back in the house. He and my husband don't seem to click very well, and my husband doesn't really discipline until he gets to the point where he just explode with him. And so I feel like I have to toe the line between them and try to have a good relationship with my son so that he has a relationship with one of us. So I tried to balance discipline and relationship, and it causes tension between my husband and I. So just trying to determine the best way to get some resolution in this relationship. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. Listen, not in agreement, not on the same page. Sometimes you have to just resign, not from the marriage so much as resign from being in the middle. And I know that could be difficult. All right, we're talking intentional living, talking parenting, and just to follow up a moment to Priscilla, as Jennifer reminded me during the break, you know, there's a soft side and a tough side of this thing. And you got a child that's in the system. Sometimes they need to just face the consequences. These are logical, natural consequences. Getting the consequences at 15, hopefully, can be something that shakes her out of it than waiting until she's 25, right? And I know it's tough. It's got to, as a mom, you know what? We get back to the 3-foot rule thing that we talk about. I can control myself, my words, my behavior. Even as a parent, you really don't have that much control over a 15-year-old. I mean, you can, certain amount, yeah, you can say, when you get to be 16, you're not going to drive the car and these kinds of things, but kids are kids, and they do things, and they live in life, and they're going to make decisions. And it's hard because we know what's best for them, and we know what'll help, and that's why having logical, natural consequences can be positive. All right, we're praying for you, Priscilla. You know, yesterday I shared a call that came in and left on our comment line from Shelley in Michigan that really demonstrates one of the principles we're talking about, the importance of having your goals with daily action. And I never elaborated on her call. So let me share that again, try to answer your question, then we'll get to some other calls.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Shelley calling from Michigan. I had a question. Both of us parents are working, basically trying to make it all meet up in the end, paying the bills. Got a lot of pressure as a working mom. A lot of people's opinions about moms should stay home. I was wondering if you could just speak to all of us working moms that are doing the best that we can, biblical perspective of that. Appreciate it. Thanks, Randy.
Well, you're welcome, Shelley, and I hear your heart. And I mentioned yesterday that there's so many of you moms who are working moms, working outside the home, and you don't want to be doing that. You'd rather be home with the kids or more so at home. And yet there's financial stress and pressure and so on. And this creates that tension in this thing of, I have goals and then my daily actions or my daily responsibilities, they don't match. And that creates dissonance and problems and stress in a relationship. And I just say to people, if your goals are strong enough, I mean, if they're really strong, then you got to ask yourself, how can I make that goal a reality? If my goal is I want to be home with my kids, then what do you have to do? I don't know. It's going to be different for every family. I can't give you the formula, but things to look at would be, does my spouse work more hours? Do we change our budget? Do we work part-time? Do I work at home part-time? I don't know. There's things that we can do, but when your goal, whenever we have a dissonance between a goal and how we actually live, that creates tension in our life and in our relationships. And so we'll encourage you, Shelley, just to really pray about it, get with your husband and talk about it and make a decision how you want to live, how you choose to live. But speaking of how you choose to live, today is Valentine's Day. You thought I was going to forget, didn't you, Jennifer? Today's Valentine's Day, and I'll tell you something. I have the most terrific wife on the planet. She tells me when I need to change my thoughts, and she loves me when I blow it. And after all these years of being married, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me outside of my relationship with Christ. And so I love you, Donna. Happy Valentine's Day. Fortunately for me, she's not a big flower person. I don't have to bring her flowers. If I do the dishes, take the trash out, make the bed, do things around the house, So maybe I'll do a couple extra. What do you think, Jennifer?
I say that's just lovely.
All right. So take a card home and make the bed and I'm all set.
There you go.
There you go.
Maybe make dinner if you can
no,
cook.
No, no, no dinner. That, don't push it now. Well, let's not push it. All right. Back to our calls, our questions on parenting today. Go right ahead.
Hello. Hi. My question was regarding, I have a sister who's disrespecting my mom. She's already 20 years old and just, you know, in and out the house, you know, using drugs. Just really been just disrespecting my mom. We have tried many ways of, you know, bringing in, you know, tough love, just regular love, all ways, shapes, and forms. So just any advice that you can give on this situation? She hasn't had her father, so I kind of, in a sense, play the father role in her life. I'm her older brother. So just anything that would help towards, you know, how I can apply any sense of direction in her life. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And let me say something. You need a big brother hug because you want to do the best thing. A lot of brothers would say, I don't know what she's doing. I'm just going to blow her off and get on with my life. The fact that you care, it says something about you and your character, right? And you heard me talk about my identity and then my maturity and my personal integrity and the fact that, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I want to do the right thing for my sister. And yet, hey, listen, she's showing disrespect to mom and in and out of the house and drugs and all that. And there's no dad around and I want to know what to do. Here's what you're at war at. You're at war in this thing of, I love her, but there's no respect in the relationship. You're struggling to respect her and obviously she's disrespecting everybody in the family. And you said we've tried some of the tough love. You know what? This soft love and tough love thing is important. If that were my sister, I probably, if you have a relationship, I'd take her out to lunch and I'd say, hey, listen, I love you. I'm your big brother. Tell me what's going on. And just listen to her. Say, I'm praying for you. I want the best for you. But I got to tell you, as your brother, you got to knock off the disrespect, the how you're treating mom. You got to take care of whatever's going on in your life because we're changing the locks at home. If you continue to do this, thinking you can just come and go, it's just not right. It's not right for mom. It's not right for you. And the locks are going to get changed. Oh, she might blow up and walk away. And that's very possible. But you've communicated, I love you and I care for you, but there's a limit. You got to have some limits. You got to have some boundaries that are put in place. And one of them is you don't bring your drugs. You don't bring your disrespect. You don't bring your lip at 20 years old back into mom's house. And if mom isn't strong enough to say that, and if she agrees with you on that, by the way, if she can say it, that's even better. But if she wrestles with that and you feel you can help, maybe that's one thing you could do. All right? Okay. That's tough. Terrible. All right. Let's continue on with the calls. I think a whining child. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Hi, my name is Derek. And my question is how to get your child. I have a 10-year-old that whines and complains every time he's asked to help out. And we don't know whether taking things away or giving him extra chores. We don't know what to do because nothing seems to work. We would love to know what to do with our child who won't stop whining and complaining every time he's asked to help. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. That question was left for me. And I was thinking of my friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman. I think it was Kevin who made the statement, whining kids need a wine cellar. You know, they need a place where they can go and just whine. If you want to whine, go in your room and whine and roll your eyes and have fun. And when you're done, come back out. You're not trying to irritate your child, but basically the message is, listen, this is it, Derek. Your 10-year-old is giving you a power play. This is a pure 100% power play. I think I can control Dad. I can get his veins to stick out on his neck. I can get him really upset by whining. And the less impressed you are with his, or was it a girl? I don't remember. I think it was a boy. Okay. Your son, the less impressed you are with his whining at 10 years old, the better off he's going to be and you're going to be down the road. And so as we talk about the conflict, you have a goal. You want to raise a responsible adult, but my guess is your daily actions are struggling. And many times as a parent, we think if I do this three times, they'll snap out of it and be normal. And as my dad used to say, kids go through phases. Don't worry about it unless they get stuck. And so the key is you got a 10-year-old who's using power. Don't be impressed. get out of the power, play with him, let him go whine in his bedroom. When he's done, he can come back out. And when he comes back out, he still has to do what you told him to do. That's a really important thing. You got to hold him accountable. Because if you don't, he wins. It's not about you winning. It's about him trying to win in a not a healthy way. That hurts. All right, let's go. I think another question. Go right ahead.
Hi, Randy. My name is Janice Ann. My husband and I have been married about 15 months, and we both have ex-spouses. And here lately, well, for a long time, his spouse has been causing a lot of trouble in the lines of us not getting to see his children. Now, my grown children are about to be married, and my ex-spouse is starting trouble too. And how do you deal in a marriage when you have ex-wives and ex-husbands causing drama? Thanks.
Well, you know, you can't control another person. And I know that's hard to hear, but that's a reality. And you've been married for a short period of time. So getting this resolved early on is going to be wise for you. If I understand, Janice, what you were saying, the younger kids are his. The younger kids are his. And the ex-wife is creating some drama there. And so what's lacking there is agreement. And I've said this pretty much continually. Continue to live your life the way you know God wants you to live. Be consistent. Be loving. Don't criticize mom to the extent possible. Dad should have a relationship with ex-spouse to try to say, hey, how can we do this together to raise these kids, to do a good job? Sometimes referred to as co-parenting, right? Trying to work on it together. That would be that part of it. The second part is you have adult kids. And so the ex-spouse might cause drama, but if they're adults, focus on your kids. Develop a relationship with your kids. Don't criticize dad. If there's drama that needs to be resolved, go figure out what it is and talk to your kids. Sit with them, communicate, apologize. I don't know, what are they angry about? And having that kind of relationship with your adults is really important. But let me just say this. No matter how intentional you are, you can't control how another person's going to respond. If your adult children are just not happy with you, that may take some time. Maybe they weren't happy you got remarried or whatever it was that's creating a problem in the relationship. And that may be true with the younger kids as well. And so the overall thing that's most important, Janice, in a second marriage for a blended family, mark it down, mom and dad, new marriage, be in agreement. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Show love and respect to each other and to your kids. Have some goals and take daily action. And then live with integrity and maturity in your own life. And that's probably the best you can do in a difficult situation. And see what God does. He's not done with that family yet. Okay? Let's take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Every question we ask in life has the power to set us up or set us free. In Dr. Randy's teaching titled The Power of Questions, he unpacks the first question in the Bible and how the serpent used it to twist God's word and lead Adam and Eve astray.
God never told the woman she couldn't touch the fruit. There's already a deception that's occurring in this woman's mind, and Satan is setting her up.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets to listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for that reminder. Your support matters. 888-888-1717. We're talking about the power of questions. And Stephen Davis, senior producer here at Intentional Living, loves to write and create and put together an article that's online on this power of questions and taking one question at a time that Jesus asked. And the one I think you focus on this time is, who do you say I am?
Yeah, and that's a huge question.
That's a huge question, isn't it?
Yeah. Because when you figure, you know, I mean, anybody can answer that, whether they know Jesus or not. You know, maybe he's a good guy, maybe he's a good teacher, or maybe he really is the Son of God. But that's the question. And the funny thing about the story with the disciples was the disciples, he first said, who do people say that I am? Oh, you're John the Baptist, come back, you're Elijah, da-da-da, you know. And then finally said, no, let's get personal. You've been with me. You know, don't care about what society says. You've been with me. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
You know?
Powerful.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you got to get that question settled in your own life. Amen. Who do you say Jesus is? They can find it on our website, right?
Yes, they can. They just go down to the read section and they'll see where they can click on it.
All right, theintentionallife.com. Click on the little read icon and that article will be there for you. All right, quickly, I think we've got time for one more question.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. My name is Robin. I'm calling because I have a 4-year-old grandson that I am raising, and he is one very strong-willed child. And I was just wondering if you could possibly give me some information on how I can be more of a godly grandmother, mother in his life. I seem to struggle with that a lot. If you could, maybe give me some feedback on that.
Robin, you are standing in the gap. And if you did nothing else and just do what you're doing, you've done a lot. And so I would cut yourself a little slack, because when we get to the grandparent age, we don't have quite the energy level, but sometimes we have the wisdom, right? That's come along through years. So I think you have a pretty clear goal. You want to be a help. You want to love your grandchild and so on. So simply just create a simple daily plan and stick with it. A 4-year-old's a 4-year-old. You're not going to be impressed with his power plays that he has for you. You're not going to be impressed with him trying to run your home, and you're going to love on him and then hold him accountable. And when you do that, you're giving him the best gift you possibly can. All right. Thank you for doing that, Robin. Thank you for being a grandma, standing in the gap along with thousands and thousands of others across the country. Got to run. Thank you. Appreciate your being a part of the ministry. We love you guys. We want the best for you. Love your feedback, your input, your questions, your disagreements, whatever. We're here for you when you call 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio, and we have one goal, and that's to help you experience your life today as God intended. Boy, that's a big order, isn't it? Have a great day, and we'll be back next time. Happy Valentine's Day.